Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Alan Chavoya, and he is the outreach chair for the Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Oppression, a.k.a. Antifa. anyway, man, no, scratch that. That was a mild attempt at humor. Yeah. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing all right. How are you?
All right. I'm doing fine, man. I was really interested in the kind of work you and others like you do, and what brought my attention to you and your group is that over the last, I don't know how many months, and you'll be able to tell the listening audience in Milwaukee, three people have died in custody in the Milwaukee County Jail.
Yeah, it's been three since December, and we've been involved in this since June with Breon Green. So I'll be four since June.
So for people who may not know, try to wrap your arms around this. Four people who have been held in jail. And I don't know, man. I don't think they were all murderers, were they?
No.
I don't. Come on. Just average people held for whatever reasons, and four have died since December. To me, that's a big deal. And there hasn't been, from Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department, they have not explained why these people died.
Right. Where's the trust? She ran on trust, right? Sheriff Danita Ball, her campaign was, oh, I'm building trust with the community. Okay, where you at? There is no trust here.
You know, four people lost their lives in custody. Right? That's a big deal. When you look at all the things that have happened previously, and people can say what they will, and I know that there are people who law enforcement and can do no wrong. A lot of people in this country believe that. And yet the fact that four people have died in custody since December, January, February, March. Come on, man. That should be a major story. And the families who lost their loved ones, and the excuse can't be, we don't have enough deputies, which is what they're saying.
Right.
You've got the county jail is jam-packed, overflowing. You got to do a better job. That's not acceptable. Well, you know, we don't have enough people. Come on, man.
Yeah. No, Breon Green's death, and I was there with the family when we saw the footage given to us by the DA.
And so what happened in that case?
And so Breon Green was arrested at the, you know, at a Bradford Beach, right, you know, by Lake Michigan. He gets picked up by some sheriffs, and they bring him to the jail, right? We don't know exactly what happened on that trip. That's part of the investigation, part of what we want to see, right, with the footage being released in a timely manner publicly. Once he gets booked, he gets placed inside a cell, right? Not with general population, but inside a cell because they said that he wasn't cooperating or he was showing some sort of concerns for his behavior, which warranted him being put into a cell. So when you look at his records, he did have mental health concerns. He should not have been in jail. He should have been in a mental health facility to get the help he needed, right? Anyways, they bypassed that, put him in the cell. A couple minutes after he's in the cell, you could see him fidgeting with a phone that is inside, you know, one of those cables, those old school phones that we no longer have, right? Like those pay phones. And you can see him playing around with it. Shortly after, you could see him putting it around his neck. Tell me why, as soon as he starts putting it around his neck,
somebody didn't stop.
A correctional officer walks by, and this is supposed to be their wellness check. As he's walking by, in the direction he's walking, he won't be able to look into the cell and see Breon because he's against, you know, he's on the side where he's walking from. Right. So he'd have to pause and look into it, right? It's a small cell, but you still, the angles aren't, you know, conducive for if right. you just walk by and you quickly glance. You have to look in there. He doesn't do that.
Which is his responsibility right. to look in
there. Exactly. It took him, he did it in less than a second. He just turned his head and kept walking by. Had he stopped and looked, he would have seen what Breon was doing and he could have stopped Breon. As soon as Breon started, the next check was supposed to be 15 minutes, according to the sheriff, right? According to Danita Ball, who told us that they do it every 15 minutes. It took them 37 minutes between the moment that that officer supposedly looked in and did his check, 37 minutes till the next one. And when she sees, at that point, you know, Breon's body's unresponsive, it's not moving, and they try to administer CPR and everything, but it was too late. So this wasn't an issue of, oh, we don't have enough. Because we saw once she called the alarm and sounded the alarm, all these COs started showing up. And there was a lot. There were like over 12 that we saw in the footage at that moment, right? So it's not a shortage of staff, as they are saying. It's not that they're under-resourced. They take majority of the county's budget already. It's that they're not equipped to handle cases of mental health, as we saw with Breon, or as we saw with the young woman who died in December, Sylvia Therion, who had a long history of mental health concerns and mental health disorders that she should not have been in jail because the jail is not the place to handle those.
So for people who have listened to me, they know that I have a son that is bipolar and schizophrenic, and he would not do well in jail. And so there was a time in this society where we didn't lock up people with mental illnesses. I lived during that period of time. Mm-hmm. And Ronald Reagan was then the president of the United States, and he changed all of that. And so when you lock people up with mental illnesses, and you can deduce that people are mentally ill, you don't need to be a psychiatrist or psychologist. If I'm a law enforcement person and I'm talking to somebody and I'm watching them, it's easy for me to see that that person is mentally ill, right?
Right.
So, but we have a system that does not allot for that. And so the fact that we put these people in those situations and then don't look out for their well-being, that's something seriously wrong with that, right? They're in your custody. In essence, they're in the county's custody. They're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're clearly not acting as if they're responsible, right?
I agree. It's supposed to be their care. They don't even say custody. They say our care. They try to make it seem nicer by saying care. Okay, we'll treat them right. How are you treating them if you're saying with care and letting people die in there?
Well, you know, the fact that this is number four.
Right.
And to me, the federal government should be engaged and involved in this. They're talking about, well, we're going to check our policies. No.
Mm-hmm.
Checking your policies is too late for that.
Right.
When four people have lost their lives in 3-4 months,
right,
we don't want to hear about your policies, right? And the families who have to struggle and suffer through this, have every right to be outraged. Well, you know, we had him because he stole a car. Well, okay. Let's say they had one of the people because they stole a car. Is that a death sentence? That they stole a car?
Right.
We have to come to a reality in this country that law enforcement, who is sacred, that people who are listening right now, they think law enforcement is sacred. They're always right. Well, guess what? They're not.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who speaks in opposition to them is not anti-law enforcement. We all agree we need law enforcement. But we don't need law enforcement that will allow four people to die
mm-hmm.
in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then not be able, and the families not be able to get answers.
Yeah, those are some of the big issues, right? Like when we say we demand community control of the police, right? We see that our communities need safety. We want security, right? You go anywhere in Milwaukee, you talk to any people, and not just Milwaukee, any city. People want to be safe,
yeah,
right? In Milwaukee, we have a big issue because, well, how do we keep each other safe, right? We have certain institutions that can keep us safe, right? We were talking about the mental health services that have been getting slashed left and right over the last couple of decades. We have, you know, park systems keep us safe. Education systems keep us safe, right? But what we're seeing is that supposedly, right, the police or the sheriffs that are supposed to keep us safe are not. And they do that by neglect, which that's what, you know, we hold that these were cases of neglect, these four deaths. As well as by swallowing all that county budget or the city budget that should be going into these other resources, right? But then they say, oh, we need more law enforcement. We need this to keep you safe. But they're not keeping us safe. They're showing us every single time they're not keeping us safe, right? In less than a year, four deaths inside the county jail. Since 2008, there's been 17 that we know of, right? That we can know of, because I'm sure there's probably have been even more once we started, you know, digging deep. So I'm glad you said, right, we can't just expect them to say, oh, yeah, we're just going to look into our policies. We need a different investigation in here. Every time there's been a case, they go to Waukesha Sheriff Department to investigate these cases. That's what they're doing with this latest one with Terrence Mack, who died less than a week ago. Why do they keep going to Waukesha? And Waukesha keeps coming empty-handed and saying, oh, we don't know. We don't see anything. So we need an independent, non-law enforcement investigation into these cases.
Well, you know, listen, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Our phone lines are open. And my guest is Mr. Alan Savoia. He is the outreach chair for Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Oppression. 844-967-2789. What do you say? We'll be right back.
I know the way, walking alone and brokenhearted. It's so hard to face reality, knowing loneliness is my destiny.
Love the music, by the way.
Join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Alan Savoia. He is the outreach chair for Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Oppression. Phone lines open at 844-967-2789. You know, the fact that there are people who are willing to do what you and others have done, you guys actually came together because of what?
Yeah, we got refounded actually in April because we saw the need for the COVID testing site that was shut down in the north side, the only one in the north side. And then a month after that, the George Floyd uprising happens, and we see the importance of that in Milwaukee. And that's when we decided to take more action against the racist killings by cops.
You know, you use the verbiage and the terminology racist, and that clearly sets ablaze under some who think that that's not the case, that law enforcement is not doing that for those reasons. You say what to that?
Well, let's look at the facts. Let's look at who are the ones that are being killed and how, right? You could look at it simply by looking at a mass shooter, right, who kills, goes into a grocery store, and kills over,
10 people,
all black. And does he get shot by the police? And he's carrying a huge gun on him.
No, they take him to get a burger.
Right. So then why does, you know, a youth who's scared of the police, has no weapons on him, get shot up over 60 times, right, in a city like Akron, Ohio? Why does a 13-year-old who's running away from the police with his hands up in the air, a 13-year-old Chicano by the name of Adam Toledo, get shot up by the police when they don't have any, you know, AR-15s on them or all these other weapons? So it's pretty obvious how they're trained to handle these things. And I don't care for the story of, well, what about the case of Tyree Nichols when he gets killed by black cops? Black cops are part of it too. Latino cops, Chicano cops are part of this too, right? It's that once they put that badge on, once they put that blue uniform on, it doesn't matter what their race are, it doesn't matter what their gender is, they're part of that system that is used to detain us, that is used to murder us.
So that there are people and who are listening to you right now and myself right now who disagree with your assessment and who think that, you know, if a law enforcement officer did something that they shouldn't have done, you know, there are reasons and we should understand that it's a tough job. You say what to that?
Okay, it's a tough job. Let's look at why they act the way they act. And let's look at all these other things that once they get into the job, they start doing. Why is it that in pretty much every single police department that, you know, we see, there are these gangs in there, right? We dealt with it in Milwaukee with the Punishers
and
these other ones. We look at, you know, cause like I said, we're part of the National Alliance. So we have chapters all throughout the U.S. We were just talking to some people in L.A., Centro CSO does the similar work that we do, and they're part of the National Alliance, and they were talking to us about the gangs they got in the sheriffs there that are doing stuff that are the same thing. In order to get into the gang, what do they have to do? They have to go kill either a young black man or a young Chicano from L.A. So there's these problems in there that have been pestering and pestering, and I understand that it's a tough job, whatever you want to call it, as an individual, but it's not, you know, just one person as a cop that's going to change all that. This has to go, right? You have to uproot it from the core. And this goes back to what we were talking about with the county jail. Sure, you can say it's not all on Danita, right? Breon died while Erna Lucas was still sheriff.
Danita is the new sheriff in Milwaukee County. So go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, people might say, well, it's not just Danita, right? This happened under, you know, Erna Lucas. This happened under David Clark, all these other sheriffs. That's fine. We get it, right? It's not just up to one person. But what we're seeing is that there's a failure for accountability there, that no one is taking any responsibility. And Sheriff Danita Ball right now is not taking any responsibility. She might say, well, Breon didn't die under my custody. Well, what about the other three? What about Sylvia, Octavino? What about Terrence? They've died under your custody, Esther. You took charge. And when we asked her, like, well, who's going to hold you accountable? Like, is there an oversight board or not? There's no oversight board. The sheriffs oversee the sheriffs, right? It's not like the police in Wisconsin, right, based on the, you know, legislature where there has to be a fire and police commission that oversees police. The sheriffs don't have anything like that. They just do whatever they want.
You know, I always say to people that, and let's do this. Let's, phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What say you? My guess is Alan Chavoya. He is the outreach chair of Milwaukee Alliance Against Racial and Political Oppression. We'll be right back. you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Alan Chavoya. He is the outreach chair of Alliance, Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Oppression. And so you were really here to talk about the fact that there have been four people who died in custody in the last 3 months in the city of Milwaukee County Jail. And I don't care what you think about, you know, the people who are locked up. They don't deserve to die in custody, right? I mean, there clearly has to be an outrage that takes place. That takes place when these people die in custody. You have a responsibility.
Exactly.
To protect those people. You have control over them, right?
Right. And it goes to show you, if your loved one ends up in that county jail, there's a good chance that something like this might happen to them now, right? So that should be keeping us, you know, alarmed. And like you were saying, people should be alarmed by what's going on in there.
Let's do this. Let's bring on Don from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Don. Thank you very much for listening. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl. It's always a pleasure listening to your show. This is my observation. So hopefully, you know, you don't.
Well, no. That's all we can do is take observations, Don. I'm not going to take offense.
Right. You know. Well, sometimes when you say something, people get angry.
Yeah, but not me.
Well, no. Yeah, you're okay. Anyhow, what I've noticed is, like, you take law enforcement in general. It seems like the police chief here, Jeffrey Norman, is doing a good job, and on the other hand, the sheriff's department, it's been an eyesore for a long time.
True.
And it seems like maybe the process of how we select the head, because you got to have someone that seems competent. And in the past, Ernell Lucas, he never struck me as a guy that was really interested in ever being sheriff in the first place. And this Danita Ball, I'm sure she's qualified, but you don't hear a peep out of her. Sometimes you have incompetent leadership, and that's because people vote them in where the police chief is being selected. And they look at his background, and he's a qualified person. And what I think we don't have, the sheriff's department is not, it's incompetent. That's my opinion.
So, Dunn, let me ask you. Four people die in the county jail inside of 4 months.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen.
That's my point, man.
That shouldn't happen, though.
No, that's the issue we're talking about here. It should be talked about, and clearly there should be answers.
That's right. I agree. Right.
Where's the transparency, right, Don? Like, you're asking, like, incompetency.
And we have incompetency in the sheriff's department. I don't care what anyone says. Now, you take Jeffrey Norman. He's being selected. They look at his background. The guy has a lot of experience, and it just seems like that sheriff's department has been an eyesore for how many years?
So, I'll tell you, Don. I know both of them personally, and so I'll leave it at that. But thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, good morning, Bill. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
A great topic. You know, when people die in custody, whether it's police, sheriffs, whatever, there is no accountability coming from that department for one reason. In other areas, when somebody died like that, they call it negligent homicide. And if you have a job to be a jailer or in that department, you should also have the responsibility that, boy, if somebody dies under your watch, you're going to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to a very serious charge. To a very serious charge. You know, people say, well, it's Arnell Lucas, it's this guy. Wait a minute. No, he didn't let them die. The guy who was in charge let them die. So, if that's the case, it's the problem right at where the crosshairs are pointed. That's the bullseye. You got to deal with that. So how do you deal with that? That becomes the question. Pretty simple. They need more education, more training, and more accountability. I don't care how you want to, you know, hit those points. That's what's necessary. Now, I don't say fire them all. I say, hey, as of this date, you people are going to be held accountable for anybody that passes away while you're
Hey, Bill, that's now, already in place. That's already in place.
How come they're not?
That's
okay, but why isn't that?
So,
if it is, Earl,
yeah,
it's not. They're not taking care of.
No, you're calling
so let's
for
let Alan. Let's let Alan respond. Yeah. Alan, you want to respond to Bill's
question? You know,
you're
saying some important things, Bill, and the things you're talking about accountability. So what I was saying earlier, the Milwaukee police, right, looking at the police, they're supposed to be held accountable by an oversight body called the Fire and Police Commission, right? That's based on state law. The sheriff's department doesn't have anything like that. There's no civilian, you know, accountability council. There's nothing like that that oversees the sheriff. They oversee themselves. So the accountability will come internally, supposedly. But we're seeing that there's no accountability inside. And like the previous caller was saying, this is a problem that's been, you know, I think he was calling it an ISO for many years. So there has to be an accountability network there. And there has to be an independent body that can hold them accountable. And I think it would have to be a civilian body. But that's something big that would require legislative change. But yeah, the more training they do, they get a lot of training. They get all of these things, but they're not, they get all the money in the county. They get majority of the money of the county, but they're not doing anything with it because it's a mismanaged office, the sheriff's office.
Oh, so you're talking about a restructuring of how the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department is handled. That's what you're basically saying. There needs to be a restructuring of the way it is handled.
Yeah, that has the power, that people would have the power to hold them accountable because the sheriff's not doing it by themselves. And they're the ones who are right now have the power to hold themselves accountable, and they're not going to do it.
Bill?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, here's you guys are striking on something very important. And the gentleman with you mentioned a citizens' board of accountability. We need those people big time across the boards for our politicians and many other people, because that's why they get away with murder, because they don't have to be held accountable. But like the gentleman said, if they have to appear before a citizens' accountability board, whether they're politicians or inmates or whatever, you raise the bar on the whole structure because you have to answer for all this.
I'm sorry about interrupting you, but I have to say, and we have to clarify, you say they get, you know, charged with murder or none of them are charged with, you know, clearly with any murder in any of these cases. And none of us are saying that they committed murder, you know, in these instances. So we want to be careful about how we word mm-hmm. that. But if you don't focus on and pay attention to people who are in your custody, and there is a process that's already in place that says you should oversee and watch these people, and that's your part of your job description and job title, and then someone takes their life, that's not exactly considered murder, but certainly there is some charge that you should be, something that should be charged to you because your negligence help lead to this person taking their life.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. So, I mean, that's really what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, the negligence. It's, in my opinion, it's criminal, right? I know the DA said they didn't find anything like that, but how can you keep saying you're not finding anything? there's clearly something going on in there. And if there isn't something, you got to show us what is going on in there, right? That's where the transparency piece comes into play. But as has been said, the sheriff's not showing anything. The sheriff's not being transparent. That's why one of our big demands has been to be transparent.
I will tell you, man, I've been around a long time. And people dying in Milwaukee County Jail did not just start with these four you're talking about. It's been an ongoing problem for decades. If you looked it up and found out how many different people have died in custody in Milwaukee County Jail, you would be amazed. Okay, so it's nothing new. What you are saying and others are saying rightfully is fix it.
Right?
Excuse me. I mean, it shouldn't be allowed to continue to happen. And the only way you can fix it is to hold people accountable.
Yep. And you need power to hold people accountable, right? That's why they keep operating the way they do. And that's why, you know, something like a Civilian Police Accountability Council that could oversee them and have, certain powers like to fire and hire the sheriff, that could determine the level of training, that could control their budget, because they're going crazy with it. They're doing what they want with it. You know, we had an issue last year when we were talking about their overtime budget.
Right.
They're supposed to have an overtime budget of about $1 million, right? Which is not a small sum. These people for the last like 10 plus years have been using up significantly more than the million. They've been using close to $3 million.
Right, because they say they can't get enough people who are willing to work.
And then they use it to call for more money, but that's not the case.
So the other part of this is you've got, and they're separate, the sheriff, I mean the deputy, and the people who are responsible for what happens in the court, in the jails, two different people. You know, you don't have deputies whose responsibility it is to watch over people who, I forgot what you call those people, but they're not deputies. So there's a separation from the two peoples who the deputies arrest people, bring them to the court, to the jailhouse, and then there are people whose responsibility it is to watch and oversee all of that.
The COs, the correctional officers.
Right. And so you're right. They're making outlandish sums of money. And they say it's because, you know, they're overworked. You hear that, right? The people who are in those positions in the jail, they clearly state, and they all know that the guys are overworked and young ladies are overworked, and they're there. And they don't get breaks that they should be getting. They need to hire more people, clearly, who can pay more attention to those people who are locked up. That's part of the problem. When people are working double shifts constantly and not getting weekends off. Yeah, they're making a lot of money, but, man, you know, just the fact that you're allowed to make a lot of money is not good for everybody. Mm-hmm. People who are working double shifts and, you know, 18 hours a day, they're not going to be sharp enough to focus and pay attention. That's one of the issues we're talking about. Those are things that should be addressed, right?
Right. And if they are being overworked, we got to look at why. Well, they're overpopulated in there. And they have been overpopulated for many years, even during COVID, when the regulations were being told, you know, take them out. Have smaller numbers because it's going to contribute to higher cases of COVID.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. My guest is Mr. Alan Chavoya. He is the he's with Milwaukee Alliance. He's the outreach chair against racism and political oppression. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Alan Chavoya. He is the outreach chair for Milwaukee Alliance Against Racism and Political Oppression. You wanted to say, Alan, there was something that you wanted to say before we, you know, leave.
Yeah, so, you know, we're not just pressuring the sheriff. We know that you got to, you know, pressure multiple fronts. So we're also been pressuring the Milwaukee Police Department because there have been in custody deaths with them, right? Most recently in District 5 with Keyshawn Thomas last year, who died. And now there have been some, you know, charges, right, for these police officers. So they are being held accountable. We need to see something like that. So we've been pressuring the fire, you know, the Fire and Police Commission to create a standard operating procedure that requires a high level of transparency. We want them to release body-worn camera, squad camera, any footage related to cases, you know, critical incidents, as they call it, to be released publicly. Footage to be released publicly within 48 hours and the names of those officers within 24. So in cases like these, families oftentimes are left months without understanding what happened. They need to see that footage. The public needs to see what's going on. And that's what we've been demanding from the sheriff. It's not a coincidence that when Waukesha released the footage for Breon Green, almost, you know, 6 months after the fact that he died, that they released only small part of the footage. They didn't release what's going on inside the jail. They didn't release the footage that I saw in which that correctional officer just simply glanced while he could have stopped and they're surveilled and then seen, you know what, I got to save this child. And they're not releasing that. So we need to see transparency. We need further transparency in our communities from the sheriffs, from the police. We need accountability, right?
You know, man, it is ridiculous and unacceptable that these cameras that law enforcement wears, there was a time when they didn't have cameras. And people organized and brought pressure because they wanted to see what transpired and what took place. Because prior to the cameras, if the police said this happened, 99.9% of the time, people were going to believe just the police because they're law enforcement.
Right.
And so the cameras were brought into the situation to where people could then see for themselves.
Exactly.
As opposed to just saying, well, they're law enforcement, we're going to believe law enforcement. And the fact that 6 months later, you can't even get the cameras to see what took place is ridiculous. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever.
What's the purpose of housing these cameras, right? Using all that money for cameras? Because it takes money to keep these cameras going, to run them, and to house that footage. So tomorrow, actually, at 5:30 p.m. in Milwaukee City Hall, there's a meeting with the Fire and Police Commission's their Policies and Standards Committee that's drafting this standard operating procedure. We're going to be putting pressure on them to say, hey, as you're drafting the standard operating procedure for the public release of footage, we want it within 48 hours publicly because people have to know. Otherwise, what happens as soon as there's a critical incident, right away the police get their PR machine going, or the sheriffs do, and they start saying, oh, this person was a criminal, this person's got this background,
right,
and it buys the public. And then the public says, okay, well, I agree then why this person was killed or why this person was severely injured.
So, man, you bring about legitimate points, man. There's nobody in 844-967-2789 is the number. People may disagree with you, but they can't ever say that the things you're saying are not true. People have a right to disagree. You have a right to disagree. That's it. But it doesn't. We can't argue and compromise truth.
Right.
You know, truth is what the camera shows, and then nobody can fabricate anything else. Your eyes will it show you what took place. And the fact that it always takes so long leads you to believe people are trying to concoct something that is going to lead them down a different road, but they can never get to something that they're looking to try to get to because the picture tells the story.
Right, and that's what we're demanding. I think this is something that everyone should be agreeing to, that we need more transparency. we need more transparency from the police. And so, like I said, there is no requirement because there is no policy in place that requires the public release of footage from the Milwaukee Police Department. So that's what we've been fighting for. And tomorrow at the FPC Policies and Standards Committee, we're going to make it known again. We've been, you know, dealing with this for over almost 2 years at this point with them to create the standard operating procedure. We've brought families who have lost loved ones to police, police violence and police crimes. And they told the FPC what they want. And what they want is to have this footage released within 48 hours. So I believe we can get there.
So whether or not I committed a crime or not, and I'm in custody, I don't care if I murdered somebody, mm-hmm. and I'm in custody, that doesn't mean that judge and jury is what happens in the jail.
Right.
Right? That's not the way it's set up.
It's supposed to be a system, right?
Yeah. You can't be the judge and jury in the jail because we have custody of you. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it works. But it, as you stated, there are people who say, well, they committed a crime. Well, again, people commit crimes all the time. The sentence is not given by people in police or the police or, you know, that's not their role.
Innocent until proven guilty, right? You got to let that system, if you believe in the system, the justice system, you got to let it play out, right? That's what they always demand. They point to it, oh, the system works. Why are you saying it works and then not letting it work out by blaming these people?
Listen, man, I want to thank you for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
I respect what you guys are doing. I think we need everybody to hold people accountable and to make things right. And what you and others are doing, we need to have that, right? We got to go. Thank everybody who made the show go. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Kevin. As always, Calvin, I don't know where to get it. As always, for the work you do, and I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.